This episode of Rebecca Enchanted is brought to you by FTM Travel. FTM Travel has earned the distinction of being named a Disney earmarked agency with a dedicated team that is ready to help you with all of your Disney destination dreams. From Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, and Aulani in Hawaii, let our agents turn your vacation dreams into your dream vacation. There is never any fee for our services. They are complimentary when you book your vacation through us. Visit our website at www.ftmtravel.com. So that's F as in ferry, T as in trip, M as in mother. Again, that's www.ftmtravel.com or email us at info@ftmtravel.com. Be sure to mention that you heard about us on the Rebecca Enchanted podcast. Welcome to episode 3 of Rebecca Enchanted. I'm Rebecca Mitchell, your fairy podmother. Thank you so much for your feedback on the previous episodes. I look forward to bringing you new Disney content each week. If you want to go ahead and subscribe on the podcast platform that you listen on, it will go ahead and download for you each week when I release new episodes. This episode is going to talk about Epcot and the attractions there, and as well as the good uses of the FastPass system there. Epcot has a tiered system for their FastPasses. So there are certain attractions that are considered Tier 1 attractions, and those are Frozen Ever After, Test Track, Soarin', Illuminations, which is their nighttime spectacular, and then the Epcot character spot to meet Mickey and friends. And then Tier 2 is there's Mission Space, Spaceship Earth, The Seas with Nemo and Friends, Living with the Land, the Pixar Short Film Festival, Journey into the Imagination with Figment, and Turtle Talk with Crush. So what the tier system means is you are able to get one fast pass from the Tier 1. So those are the main headliners. So you have to choose between Frozen, Test Track, and Soarin', which really are the ones I would recommend in Tier 1 based on what your family's into. And then you're able to choose two fast passes from that Tier 2 that I mentioned. So they're spread out a little bit differently, and you're only able to get one for like the main headline attractions, which makes touring a little bit difficult because you really have to get there early in order to take advantage of the low crowds. So as I mentioned last week, the best rule of thumb for touring the parks is to get there early. So Epcot almost always opens at 9. So you'll want to get to your bus stop around 8 o'clock if you're staying on site. Even actually, I would recommend a little bit before that. Or if you are driving, I would recommend getting there so that you're there by 8:30 or so. And then they will let you into the park up to Spaceship Earth. And then where you go from there is pretty much based on what fast passes you have and what your family's interests are. So the center of Epcot, there are two sections to Epcot, the Future World and World Showcase. And the center of Future World is Spaceship Earth. That's the golf ball that you think of when you see Epcot. And so how I'm going to kind of describe this park is we're going to go to the right of Spaceship Earth, and then we're going to go around to the left of Spaceship Earth as we're talking about it. So that's just going to be, I think, the easiest way to talk about that. And then after I talk about that, I'll head back to the World Showcase and talk about the attractions back there. As you're looking at Spaceship Earth, to the right, the first pavilion is the Seas Pavilion, and that contains Turtle Talk with Crush, which is a darling interactive attraction where the children sit in front and Crush is on a screen and ask the children questions. So it's different every time because of the way he plays off of them and answers their questions. Super fun for the whole family. Also in that pavilion, you'll find the Seas with Nemo and Friends, and you sit in a clamshell and you ride through an aquarium, and along the way you'll see Nemo and his friends, and it's just really cute. It's a nice little break. It's an easy ride for little ones. It's great for the whole family. And then as you leave that attraction, you'll be in an aquarium, actually. So there's an aquarium with all sorts of, exhibits to learn from. There are cast members there to explain things to your family if you have questions. It's a really great learning experience. It's inside, so you're able to, if it's raining or if it's hot, it's a great way to spend some time. As we go along, the next pavilion is the Land, and that contains Soarin' Around the World, which has a 40-inch height requirement. It is a really good use of your Fast Pass if you are not planning to ride Frozen. So if you do not have Frozen fans in your party, that would be my number one suggestion for your Tier 1 Fast Pass. And basically, you're kind of just sitting on a hang glider type apparatus. Your legs do dangle, but you're belted in. And there's a massive screen and this just gorgeous video of different places throughout the world, and you go over it and it's just a glide. It's simply a fabulous attraction. It is a favorite of many, many, many families. It's fantastic. And I highly, 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 highly recommend it. Also in the Land Pavilion, you'll find Living with the Land. And that is just a really gentle boat ride through kind of like the history of agriculture. And you also get to go through the greenhouse at Disney World, that's at Epcot. And it's a nice educational little ride. Many people like it because it's, again, inside. So you get a nice break from being outside, and there's no height requirement. So it's a nice one for the whole family to go on. The next pavilion is Imagination, and that's where you'll find Journey into Imagination with Figment, which does not have a height requirement, so that's a nice ride for the whole family. I would say it's like not a must-do, but if you're over there and looking for something to do, that's a nice way to spend a little bit of time. And then also there is the Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival. This is kind of like one of our little hidden gems. They do rotate out the films from time to time, but it's a nice little break, and it's good for little ones especially because they usually enjoy the movie, the movie type attractions like that. And it's just a really nice little refreshing way to spend a little bit of time. Heading back to the center of the park, we'll use Spaceship Earth as our landmark. And Spaceship Earth in itself is an attraction. It's nice. You go through the history of communication throughout time, and you'll travel up through the golf ball and you come back down. And it's a nice kind of long attraction to get off of your feet and get out of the sun. And families really enjoy it. There's some interactive stuff that you can do on the screen in your little vehicle. And then when you come out, there are just tons and tons and tons of interactive things for the kids to do. So some people skip it, but I definitely recommend it. I think it's a nice little learning ride. And now to the left of Spaceship Earth, we'll go around. And there is a pavilion that they're currently working on, and that is the future Guardians of the Galaxy attraction that will be there within the next couple of years. And then as we go along, the next attraction is Mission Space. So Mission Space is a motion simulator ride. It does have a height requirement of 44 inches for the orange, and then for the green, it's 40 inches. So the green is more mild and the orange is, more intense. I do have some motion sickness issues and I always go green. I did try orange one time. And I was like, get me out of here the whole time. I was like, where's the panic button? I need to get out of here. So it just depends on, you know, your level of comfortability with that type of ride. So I recommend green, and it is really cool because everybody gets their little, their job, like you're the pilot or the commander, and everybody has a button to push. I don't know what happens if you don't push the button, because I never have not push the button, because it's super fun and there's other little buttons you can click. So it's a neat ride. You know, you go through, it simulates, you know, taking off and landing, and it's really neat. So I recommend that if you've got kids that are a little, or family members that are a little bit more adventurous. That's a good use of your tier two fast pass. So I definitely recommend that for your tier two. The next ride, as you go along to the left, is Test Track. And during your wait for that, you'll be able to build a simulation car, or you, so you'll set it with different capabilities and things that you want for your simulation car. And then the car goes through tests. So it goes through weather and, you know, starting and stopping and maneuverability things. And then at the very end, you go outside. It's a fast ramp up to 65 miles an hour about. So that's fun to do at night when you go outside like that. And so it's a really popular ride there. It is in the tier one for fast passes. So if you do not want to do Frozen or Soarin', I would recommend that for your fast pass. But one of the other great features of Test Track is that it has a single rider line. So they will use the single rider line to fill in spots of vehicles that are not full. So that line tends to go a little bit faster than the regular line. Just keep in mind, you, if you're going, you know, with your whole family, you would not probably be in the same ride vehicle, but it does go faster. So my son likes to ride that one over and over, and I would rather do something else sometimes. So he will go, you know, ride that and just get in the single rider line and ride it, you know, three or four times over and over. So it does, that single rider line does go pretty quick, and it's a nice option for, you know, like that kind of scenario. Other than the attractions I just talked about in Future World, there are tons and tons and tons of hands-on interactive things that they can do. Mostly when you get off of the attractions, especially Mission Space is fantastic. There's so many opportunities for them to just be kids and play. And that's one of the things I love so much about Epcot. And I do hear sometimes from clients that, you know, like, oh, I heard there's not much for kids to do there, but there's so much. There is just so much for them to do. Hands-on activities, learning. I call it the learning park, and they don't even know they're learning as they're doing it. So definitely when you are at Epcot, take the time to stop and do some of those fun interactive things, because I know my son, those are like some of his best memories, is just being able to play after Mission Space and being able to just do the things that he wants to do instead of like running to another attraction. Now we're going to head back to the World Showcase, and along the way, you'll be able to stop and pick up information to do the Phineas and Ferb Agent P's World Showcase Adventure, which is a fun scavenger hunt type activity that goes through several of the pavilions, China, France, Germany, Japan, Mexico, and the United Kingdom. And it's really, really fun for the kids. It gives them a little, like, helps them dig a little deeper into those pavilions. You'll also now be able to do it on the Play Disney Parks mobile app, which is brand new, and I'm going to test it out when I go in August, so I don't know a ton about it just yet, but I know that this will be part of it. And so that will kind of, like I said, help the kids as they go through the pavilions. It gives them a little bit of something to do because there aren't a ton of like rides back there. It's a lot of shows and shops and restaurants and that kind of thing. So that's a great way to engage them when they're back there. Now I'm going to take you clockwise around the World Showcase Lagoon, and the first pavilion is the Mexico Pavilion, and that has some great shops, some great interactive, you know, street performers, and then it also has the Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros, and that is just like a fun little boat ride. It does not have a height requirement. It's a great little way to get out of the heat and just enjoy a quick little ride. It does not have a fast pass, but it usually doesn't have too long of a wait. And then the next pavilion is the Norway Pavilion. And this is where you'll find Frozen Ever After, which is the ride that has pretty much the longest wait throughout all of Epcot. It's regularly, you know, an hour and a half or so. So that is my number one choice for your Tier 1 Fast Pass if you've got Frozen fans. It does not have a height requirement. It's lovely. In fact, I might cry a little when I'm on it. I love it. It's just a really nice ride. It's a nice representation of the movie, and you can kind of sing along if you want. So I really, really like that. And then when you're back there, you will also be able to meet Anna and Elsa. And Epcot is the only place where you can meet Anna and Elsa in Disney World. So if you have Frozen fans, Epcot definitely needs to be on your list. And then moving along, the next pavilion is the China Pavilion. And there is not a ride there per se, but there is a movie called Reflections of China. And it is a beautiful movie, just showing the beautiful landscape of China. And just to forewarn you, though, there is it's a standing one. You have to stand up because it's a 360. So, but I definitely recommend checking that out. And then there are some nice little shops and restaurants there as well. And the next pavilion is the Germany Pavilion. Again, this one does not have a ride, but there are some really neat shops. There's a darling Christmas shop in there. And then there's also this little courtyard that has a cuckoo clock. And that's a nice place where I like to take a break sometimes. It's just kind of out of the way. And there's some good food options around there for sure. So that's a cute one to just kind of check out if you have some time. And then kind of when you're heading over to the next pavilion, the Italy Pavilion, there's a neat little miniature train town that's really, really cute and worth checking out and walking through. And then we've got the Italy Pavilion, and there is not like really an attraction there, but they do have Sergio, who's a street performer. So I recommend checking out the times. He's fantastic. It really gets the crowd going, and he does some juggling and just really, really interacts with the crowd a lot. So that's fantastic. And then they've got some, of course, wonderful restaurants in Italy and great shopping as well. So now we're in the center of the World Showcase, and that's where you'll find the American Pavilion. And back there, you will find the American Adventure, which is like a 30, 40 minute show or so with animatronics. And, you know, just giving the American history really, really, really well done. It is a fantastic break in the middle of the day because you get off your feet for quite a long time. As you're entering that building, you will see the Voices of Liberty, which is a singing group. I love hearing them at Christmas time and the 4th of July. I mean, all year round, they're performing. So check out those times and plan that around when you're going to go to the American Adventure. So you can check out the Voices of Liberty in the Rotunda before you head up to the American Adventure. And also in the American Pavilion, you will find they have an amphitheater. And that is where they do performances all throughout the year. So during the Flower and Garden Festival, it's the Garden Rocks concerts. And they'll do Eat to the Beat concerts during the Food and Wine Festival. At Christmas time, it's the Candlelight Processional, where they will have a celebrity narrator, and then they have this choir backing it up. It is truly one of my favorite experiences that I've ever done at Disney World, the Candlelight Processional. I like, if we're there at Christmas time, it's a must-do for me. I absolutely love it. And this is an open amphitheater, so kind of plan that strategically. Some of the concerts, you know, it'll be easy to find a seat, but definitely the Candlelight Processional, and then some of course, the like more famous acts that they bring in there are, you know, you'll want to do your best to kind of get a seat under the covered area just to kind of get out of the sun, or, you know, if it's raining or that kind of thing. So there's a lot to do back there, and they do rotate different acts depending on whatever festival is going on at the time. And then we move on to the Japan Pavilion, One of my favorite things to do there, they have this beautiful department store with really unique treasures from Japan. But you're able to, in that department store, you're able to pick a pearl. So it's a whole production and you get to choose your clam and they open it and they measure it for you. It's just really fun. It's really well done. And then in addition, they've got some great drumming street performers there. So I definitely recommend checking out the times to try and catch that because that is really fun. Again, great restaurants and great shopping in the Japan Pavilion as well. One of my favorite things about the Japan Pavilion is to just kind of go back and be in the gardens. Really, really nice, usually not that busy. So you can get a shaved ice and just kind of go back in the gardens and take a little bit of a chill. I really, really like that. It's a nice, quiet, like respite. And then we move on to the Morocco Pavilion. Fantastic food there. Really, really, really great food. This is where you can meet Princess Jasmine. And then they have a neat gallery of different art there as well. So there, again, there's not really an attraction there, but there is plenty to do, plenty to stop and see there. And then we head over to the France Pavilion. There you will find some really, really great food, of course. And then they have a movie, Impressions de France, and that is fantastic. It's really, really well done, and it's a nice way to get out of the sun and get out of the crowds and just enjoy a little bit of quiet time. And then they have a fantastic street performer that I recommend checking out. He just stands on chairs, also gets the crowd really like hyped up. So that's fun. Check out the times to make sure that you can catch that one. I highly recommend it. And then also in France, there's some really beautiful photo opportunities. And they do have a kind of a replica of the Eiffel Tower. So at night, it's really beautiful. So I recommend just kind of spending some time wandering around there. I really, really like that one. And then the next pavilion is the United Kingdom, and that's where you'll find British Revolution, which is a great band act that they have there. So check out those times. There's a nice little courtyard where you can see that. You can meet Mary Poppins, and you can meet Alice in Wonderland back there as well. So, and that's a fun, that one has tons of fun photo opportunities as well. You know, they've got the red phone booths and that kind of thing. And then they have fantastic food. I recommend the fish and chips there. That's a nice little snack. You can split it kind of as you're going around. I really, really like that. And you can get a nice seat by the lagoon and just take a load off there. And then the last pavilion is the Canada Pavilion, where they have a movie, O Canada. And it's fantastic. It's got Martin Short in it. It's really well done. You'll get a good laugh. It's fun. And then they have it's a really lush pavilion. They have beautiful water features, beautiful garden. So it's just a nice one to kind of take a stroll through. And of course, wonderful food there. That's one of the more popular restaurants at Epcot is Le Cellier. And then they also have like a great little spot where you can get some cheese soup, and as well as a little croissant donut. So that's one of my favorites. So that gives you the lay of the land for Epcot, but I do want to provide you with some other information because they have festivals pretty much all year round there. So at the beginning of the year, they do the Festival of the Arts, and they'll bring in some Broadway acts, and then there is art just covering the park. In fact, last year they did kind of a neat interactive thing where you could color on, you know, like you can be a part of the art. They have really neat photo opportunities. So that is super fun. And then of course they have food booths and throughout the whole World Showcase as part of that. And then they do the Flower and Garden Festival in the spring, and they have beautiful topiaries throughout the park. And then it's just lush with different flowers. It's really, really, really a gorgeous time to go there. And then of course, again, food booths throughout the park, or throughout World Showcase for that. And then the summer kind of, you know, there's really nothing festival wise. And then when it hits fall, they do the Food and Wine Festival, which is pretty much what they're most known for. So I recommend if you're there when it's Food and Wine, doing Epcot during a weekday, just because it gets a little bit busier on the weekends because locals like to attend the Food and Wine Festival. There are booths all over. They do cooking demonstrations. The show The Chew comes and films live from there. It's a really neat experience. And then they do, as I mentioned, those Eat to the Beat concerts where they bring in, like maybe older acts if you want, like from the 90s, maybe like sometimes they'll have Big Bad Voodoo Daddy or Boys to Men, those kind of acts. So that's really, really, really fun to do that. And then at Christmas time, they do the Festival of the Holidays. And as part of that, there are some food holiday kitchen food booths throughout the World Showcase. But then they also will have storytellers in all storytellers and different performers in each of the country pavilions. So I have always found that that's a really great way to like to teach my son about different traditions, because these storytellers are acting it out. And of course, they're super engaging. So that is a really fun part of being there during the holidays. And I highly recommend it. And now I'd like to just do kind of a recap, because it's a lot of information. And so the fast passes, I want to go back over that. As I mentioned at the beginning, they have tiers. And so the tier one fast pass that I recommend the most is Frozen, because it has the longest wait in the park. Then the second one I would recommend is Soarin' or Test Track. They're kind of even. Basically, if you have one for Frozen, plan to get to the park before park opening so that you can hit either first Soarin' or Test Track. It's kind of six of one, half dozen of the other. They're both going to build up a long wait, but the sooner you get there, the quicker you're able to do those things. So that is what I recommend. And then for your tier two fast passes, it really depends on, you know, what you're interested in. My first pick is Spaceship Earth, because although sometimes it has a 5-minute wait, sometimes it has a 45-minute wait. So I think that that's a good one to do kind of mid-morning, and it takes a little bit of time. So as the crowds are starting to build up, you're out of the crowds and you're on the attraction. And then the other one I usually do for the tier two is the Turtle Talk with Crush. Usually doesn't have a super long wait, but you're able to just kind of get in there and you get first priority to get in for a showing of that. So those are my recommendations. My other tier two recommendation would be Mission Space. If that one's a priority for you, I would pick that over, you know, the other two. It doesn't, again, have a super long wait most of the time. So just kind of, you know, pick and choose what you want to do. But those tier two ones, it may save you, you know, a little bit of time. But again, those waits aren't super long on the tier two attractions. I hope you have enjoyed this episode of Rebecca Enchanted. Please reach out to me with questions. I know it's a lot of information, and I'm just kind of going over the beginning stages of planning a trip. And so I'm here to help. If you want to reach out to me via Facebook or Instagram, you can find me at Rebecca Enchanted. And again, if you'd like to subscribe so that these episodes just download on a weekly basis for you, that would be fantastic. And if you actually even feel like reviewing, go for it. I would love to hear your feedback. So again, thank you for listening. I look forward to interacting with you on social media, and see you real soon. Thank you.